We're going to start today in John chapter 15. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your promises. Lord, we thank you that you are faithful. We thank you that you are true. And Lord, as we take some time to consider the scripture, Lord, would you help us to see where it fits with us? But Lord, would you help us to see where we don't fit with it? Lord, that you would highlight for us areas where we need to change to come into line with what your word says. Father, I thank you that you are gracious, that you give us the power to change through the Holy Spirit. Help us to be open, have open hearts, open minds, open wills, for you to speak to us, for you to work in us, for you to work through us, to change us, to be more like Jesus. Amen. John chapter 15, verse 1. I am the vine, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I have chosen you and appointed you that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so, whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Love each other. This morning I want to treat as something of an introduction to a series that I want to look at over the next couple of months. Those of you that were here will remember that we spent some time looking at what it means to be a disciple. The fact that Jesus didn't invite people to become Christians. He invited people, he called people, he said, follow me. And disciple isn't really a word we use much these days, apart from in the context of being the 12 disciples. And we have some idea about discipleship that supposed to happen within church and that sort of thing. But really, as we looked at it, was it the beginning of this year? We said that the word disciple might more usefully be translated apprentice. And the fact that an apprentice, a disciple, it's not a verb, it's a noun. It's something, not something you do. You don't go
apprenticing people. You don't go Christianing people. You don't go discipling people. You are an apprentice. You are a disciple. You are a Christian. It's something we are, not something we do. And part of that, it puts the emphasis on the fact that we are not here as followers of Jesus to be spoon-fed the whole time. Here you need to do this, here you need to do that. It's not, the emphasis is no longer on teaching, but it's actually on learning. I need to take the initiative, I need to be proactive in learning to be like the one I am an apprentice of. If I'm a Sparky apprentice, I have a qualified Sparky who shows me what to do. I have to be active in learning. It's no good him just showing, yeah, this is how you wire up an immersion heater. Actually, I need to be watching, looking, seeing what's going on. We spoke about the fact that Jesus modeled a form of apprenticeship that was quite common for the teachers when he was on earth. But first of all, his disciples, his apprentices, would be with him. That's all they had to do. They had to be with him. And in being with him, they would become like him. The more you spend time with someone, the more you become like them. You pick up their way of speaking. You pick up their way of solving problems. You pick up their way of responding in a crisis. You pick up the way they are. Maybe it's just me. But sometimes by listening to the way people pray, you think, oh, I know what their background is, or I know where they're, I can pigeonhole them slightly. The way people do certain things, the way they are, it's because we pick up attributes from the people we rub shoulders with. So the disciples with Jesus, they spent time with him so that they would become like him. And ultimately, he didn't just say, be like me. He said, go and do the things that I've been doing. You've been with me. You've seen me do it. Now you go and do the same thing. If we truly are disciples of Jesus, if we truly are his apprentices, then we start to think the way he thinks. We start to do the way he does. Romans chapter 12. Let's just have a look at the beginning of Romans chapter 12. Verse 1. Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. It's all well and good singing songs. It's all well and good having a nice holy moment. But our proper worship is to offer our bodies as living sacrifices, holy, without fault, acceptable, pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Verse 2, do not conform to the pattern of this world. This is how we do verse 1. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We don't throw our brain away. We need our mind to be transformed. A little recap of something we looked at when we were spending more time on this. I think we spent about a week on each of those things, each of those items. But what transforms us? We are transformed by the community that we're surrounded by, the people we rub shoulders with. We're transformed by the narratives that we listen to, the films we watch, the things that we hear people say at work or in the shops or just around the house. They shape our thinking. They transform our thinking. The things we do, our habits shape us. Our future is made out of our current habits. Through all that, the Holy Spirit works in us. And it takes time. And it takes suffering, unfortunately. Why is it that we only learn lessons? We usually learn lessons, should I say, because of suffering, because of pain. If we hadn't been through such sickness in our household, then we probably would have never radically learnt about and radically altered the way we eat. And just the whole lifestyle changes because we realise what I was doing, it ain't great for me. I need to make a change. Suffering forces us to make a change sometimes. We need a plan for our transformation. And the goal is that through all those things, we're transformed to be like Jesus. So I mentioned I spent the last week in a field, well, in the forest, under canvas when it was wet. When the sun broke through, I went and sat in a sunny spot until the clouds came over and it got a bit chilly. But just sitting out in the forest, just being surrounded by God's creation. The great thing about homeschooling is that you can go on holiday when everybody else is back at school. So for the vast majority of the time we were away, there was literally no other camp unit on the section we were staying in. We had the place to ourselves. Just a sense of peace and quiet. I didn't turn mobile data on my phone for 4 or 5 days. Nothing. One of the books I was reading while I was away, maybe one that you've read, The Practice of the Presence of God by Brother Lawrence. He lived in the 1600s, and in about his 40s, he stopped work. He went to live in a monastery. And I think for about 20 years or so, he worked in the kitchens every day, preparing food for the 100, 120 or so people that were in that monastery. And he made it his practice just to be aware of Jesus. Through his daily business, the work he had to do, preparing all the meals, I want to spend time with Jesus. He never wrote a book. The book only exists because one of his friends took letters that they'd been writing back and forth and put them and published them after he'd died. He was just happy to be an insignificant person, just one with Jesus. That every act he did was towards Jesus. One of the quotes, he came to a point where he said, "Let us think often that our only business in this life is to please God. Perhaps all besides is but folly and vanity." If we're doing anything, it should be to please God. Am I there yet?
No.
Are you there yet?
Probably not. For those of you that I know better than others, I might be able to answer with a little more certainty.
But does everything I do, is it pleasing to Jesus? Or do I still need transformation? Jesus' command just before he ascended back into heaven. He said, teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. We need to be transformed. It doesn't just happen. We need to be active in being transformed. A rule of life was something that, I think back in about the 3rd century, a number of Christians set about what they called their rule of life, a structure for their life. The vines there in that photo, they've got trellises put up that they can grow along. We're not talking about some kind of legalism, but we're talking about something that helps us grow in the right shape. The Latin regula vitae, a rule of life. It's literally a schedule, a set of practices, a set of rhythms to help us grow. It's a little bit like you might use a ruler to help you draw a straight line. It's something that helps us grow the way we want to grow. How do we want to grow? We want to be transformed to be like Jesus. Our transformation is possible, but it is not inevitable. We need to do things that help us grow, that give us that schedule, that rhythm of life to help us to be more like Jesus. Over the next few weeks, we're going to look at these practices that are on the wall there. Sabbath. It's important that we take time to stop. Solitude. We need time alone, just me and Jesus. We need community. You can't grow to be like Jesus on your own, because who knows, you can be the most patient person in the world while you're by yourself. But as soon as somebody else walks into the room, less easy. Especially if they're family. It's true. We often have a lot more patience for people that aren't so close to us. We need to be part of a community. Prayer. Spending time talking with the Lord. Generosity. In a culture that craves getting, holding on to, clinging, we need to be able to give like Jesus gave. Freely you have received, he said, freely give. Service. It's not all about what I want, but how can I help you? How can I be Jesus to you? Fasting. Again, in a culture that says we need to be eating all day, every day, the adverts that are pushing more food, more snacks, more whatever, and we wonder why our waistlines, some of us don't have that trouble, which I'm grateful for. But we're being pushed to feed all our appetites now, whatever appetites they might be. Fasting says, I'm going to deny myself so that I can become more like Jesus. We need time in Scripture. We live in a day and age where the Bible is more readily available to us than ever before. I have several printed copies of the Bible at home. And that's just me. And we have a house full of people, all of whom have multiple Bibles. Then you add into the fact that on your phone, I mean, what, got 60, 70 translations available at the click of a button on my phone. Like never before. But it's no good if we don't know what it says. It's no good if we don't do what it says. We need a habit of spending time in Scripture. And then lastly, witness. Jesus' command, go and make disciples. That doesn't just happen sort of automatically. It's something we have to do. We have to step out of our comfort zones and do things to share the good news of Jesus. We need to be part of a community that's doing this together, that can hold each other accountable. Thinking about the series looking forwards, about how do we take each of these 9 practices? And you could easily do a series on each one, several weeks on each one, but like, no, we're going to do 1 week on each. In a sense, it doesn't really give us time to bed in and actually, as a community, really get these practices embedded, but I think it's important that we at least have an overview of practical ways that we can use each of these things. And maybe in future years, or I don't know, midweek groups or something, we could take them one at a time and just go in a bit more detail. But that thing, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you've ever read a book, if you read it to yourself, in your head, you don't verbalize it. You can cream through really quickly. As soon as you have to stop and read it out loud, it slows you down. Like, I could have finished this book weeks ago. But actually, there's something in doing stuff together where it impacts us so much more. We may not go deep as we go through, but let me encourage you that we take each of these and how do I apply this in my life? How do I apply this in my context? For each of them, they'll look different for different people in the way that we apply them. Generosity is an easy one. If you've got cash just falling out of your pockets, it's easy to give money. That's easy if you're in that situation. But what about your time? Can you be generous with your time? Can you be generous with your words? Maybe that's a bit more difficult. So each of these, they'll look different for each of us. Let me encourage you to stick with it as we go through. This quote, long-term interpersonal relationships are the crucible for genuine progress in the Christian life. People who stay grow. People who leave do not grow. It's that whole suffering thing again. If we can work through pain together, we grow in relationship together, we grow in a sense of strength and security. I can count on you. I can trust you. I can rely on you. I can be vulnerable with you. But ultimately, it all comes back to this. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. That's why we're here. That's why we're doing this. Not that I can put a feather in my cap and say, yeah, look at me, aren't I good? I can do X, Y, Z. But actually, am I becoming more like Jesus? Like Brother Lawrence, he could say much more than any of us here, I imagine, that I'm being transformed to be more like Jesus. Maybe he wouldn't say that, because actually the more we are transformed to be like him, the more we realize how far short we fall of being like him. But you take the point. Am I being transformed? If your heart is to say, Lord, I want to be transformed. Jesus, I want to be more like you. I want to be more of who you are, who you call me to be. I want to be your apprentice. He's the one. If you remain in him, and he remains in you, and he has promised to never leave us, I will never leave you nor forsake you. It's us that sometimes wanders off. But if you will remain in him, and he remains in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, he said, you can do nothing. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that you call us to be your disciples. You call us to be your apprentices. And I thank you that inherent in that calling is the expectation that we are able to do whatever it is you put before us. I thank you that you don't set the bar high and set us up for failure, but your grace in us sets us up for success. Jesus, would you help us to remain in you? Would you help us to be transformed to your likeness? That as we learn again, as we learn more to do what you did, as we learn to spend time more intentionally with you, that we would become like you and that we would do as you would do, and that we would see fruit. Fruit in our lives, that we would be more loving, more joyful, kind, patient. Lord, all those things that come out of Father, work in us. Holy Spirit, work in us. Make us more like you, we pray. Amen.